Well, good morning. It's so good to see you. Glad you're here. We are in the book of Numbers today. We're going to be in chapter 8. We've been looking at this story and what's going on. There's lots of preliminary things going on before they even take off through the desert. If you think about it, Exodus ends with the people of Israel. They are outside of Egypt. They are out of slavery. And then it's one of those, now what? What do we do now? We've been to Sinai. We've got the Ten Commandments. We've made a commitment to God. And God has said, I will bring you into a new land. And so now they got to get there. And so God has been laying all the groundwork, getting them ready, counting them, telling people how to be pure and how to set up the temple, the tabernacle. It's going to be mobile. And then last week we looked at how the tribes had given gifts to the tabernacle and had given carts for them to be able to move the tabernacle from place to place, and had given different tools such as the bowls and the platters, and had given sacrifices. And so now they're ready to go, except not yet. They're not going to take off yet. Today we're going to look at the logical next step, where God is going to continue talking about the tabernacle and then talk a little bit about the Levites and getting them ready to serve. And so we're going to look at these two different aspects of chapter 8. So let's read chapter 8 together, and then we'll jump into what we need to learn from this. Verse 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and tell him, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to give light in front of the lampstand. So Aaron did this. He set up its lamps to give light in front of the lampstand, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. This is the way the lampstand was made. It was a hammered work of gold, hammered from its base to its flower petals. The lampstand was made according to the pattern the Lord had shown Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, take the Levites from among the Israelites and ceremonially cleanse them. This is what you must do to them for their purification. Sprinkle them with the purification water. Have them shave their entire bodies and wash their clothes, and so purify themselves. They are to take a young bull and its grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. And you are to take a second young bull for a sin offering. Bring the Levites before the tent of meeting and assemble the entire Israelite community. They present the Levites before the Lord and have the Israelites lay their hands on them. Aaron is to present the Levites before the Lord as a presentation offering for the Israelites so that they may perform the Lord's work. Next, the Levites are to lay their hands on the heads of the bulls, sacrifice one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. You are to have the Levites stand before Aaron and his sons. You are to present them before the Lord as a presentation offering. In this way, you are to separate the Levites from the rest of the Israelites so that the Levites will belong to me. After that, the Lord may come to serve at the tent of meeting once you have ceremonially cleansed them and presented them as a presentation offering. For they have been exclusively assigned to me from the Israelites. I have taken them for myself in place of all who come first from the womb, every Israelite firstborn. For every firstborn among the Israelites is mine, both man and animal. I consecrate them to myself on the day I struck down every firstborn in the land of Egypt. But I have taken the Levites in place of every firstborn among the Israelites. From the Israelites I have given the Levites exclusively to Aaron and his sons to perform the work for their Israelites. at the tent of meeting and to make atonement on their behalf so that no plague will come against the Israelites when they approach the sanctuary. Moses, Aaron, and the entire Israelite community did this to the Levites. The Israelites did everything to them the Lord commanded Moses regarding the Levites. The Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes, then Aaron presented them before the Lord as a presentation offering. Aaron also made atonement for them to ceremonially cleanse themselves. After that, the Levites came to do their work at the tent of meeting in the presence of Aaron and his sons. So they did to them as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites. The Lord spoke to Moses in regard to the Levites from 25 years old or more. A man enters the service in work at the tent of meeting, but at 50 years old, he is to retire from the service in the work and no longer serve. He may assist his brothers to fulfill responsibilities at the tent of meeting, but he must not do work. This is how you are to deal with the Levites regarding their duties. So, what's going on here? There are two things I want us to see. The first thing has to do with the lampstand. The first thing has to do with let your light shine. Somebody was reading my mind. Everybody that has a fireman hat is being called out. Put on your hat and go. I'm just kidding. So, the first thing has to do with the lampstand. We were talking about last week and the different things that were given. They were the bowls and the platters, and these things were offered, and then and they were offered at the altar there. And so God has got everything set up. Remember that even though we have the Bible broken up in chapters and in verses, when it was written, it was not written with chapters and verses. It was just written as one continuous document. So we oftentimes think, oh, chapter 8, now that we're in chapter 8, it's a whole new subject. Really, this is a continuation of what's happening in chapter 7. It's finishing up that aspect or that part of preparing the tabernacle and getting it ready for service. And so he deals with one last thing. He deals with the lampstand. And if you think about it, he's dealt with there are three parts to the temple that we're going to talk about. There's the outside or the outer sanctum or the outside where the altar is. And then you go into the actual tabernacle. You don't burn things in the tabernacle. It's a tent. It's going to catch on fire. So you do that outside, right? And then you go into the first room of the tabernacle, and that's what we call, or what the temple becomes, the holy place. In the holy place is a table, and it has bread on it, offering bread. It has the lampstand, and it has a few other pieces of furniture that were given, and they talked about that last week, or we talked about it last week. And then on the inside, you go into the next room, is what we call the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And we talked last week how that's where God dwelt, and that's where God spoke to Moses. So we're dealing with these three different rooms, or these three different aspects of the tabernacle and of the temple. And so the last thing to deal with is the lampstand. And God tells Moses to tell Aaron, hey, when you set up the lampstand, set it up so that the light shines toward the center. Now, for us, that it seems very odd, because when we shine light, we turn on a light bulb. And that light bulb just shines everywhere, right? Or if you think about it, when you think about candles, where you stick this candle in and the wick, goes up and it like shines out everywhere. But I got a picture I want to show you of what a lamp looked like in this time. That's a lamp. You may think, what? That doesn't look very lampy to me. that's only about this big, a few inches wide. I actually have one in my personal collection. That's funny. my personal collection. I have all these lamps. But I do have a lamp that dates to the time of Solomon. So it's about 3,000 years old. And I thought about bringing it, and I said, there's no way somebody's going to break my lamp, and I'm not going to love you anymore. So I have a lamp that looks similar to this at my house. And so if you'll notice, I don't know how well you can see it, but you can see pretty well. On that part where it kind of comes and looks like a spout, you see it's darker right there. It looks like it's been burnt. That's where the wick goes. And then the rest of the little bowl-looking thing would hold the oil. Okay, so these are not wax candles that you buy at the supermarket. This is a candle or a lamp that looks like this. And so you would point that wick in the direction you want it to light up. And so it's a very practical thing that God is telling Moses to tell Aaron. Hey, point the candles, put the wicks on the side where it's going to illuminate the inside of the holy place so that you can see the bread, so that you can see things. And so God is being very practical here, and he's showing Aaron where and how to put the lampstand so that the central area of the tabernacle is going to be seen. The golden table, the incense altar will be lit up because those are going to be the focal points in that place. And this is what I want us to see here. The lamps have to be aimed in the right direction. They have to be aimed in the right way. Light must be aimed in the way and directed. So here's the question. What are you lighting up? If you are a lamp, if you are a lamp of God, if you are lighting the way for other people, what are you lighting? What are you pointing at? Are you pointing at things that matter? Or are you pointing at things that don't matter? Or are you pointing toward the things of God? Or are you pointing at the wall of the tabernacle? What are people seeing when they look at you? What are you showing? What are you showing them? And the next thing, or the next question is, what is the source of your light? There are several verses that talk about God being our lamp. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, it says, Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord illuminates my darkness. In Psalm 18, verse 28, it says, Lord, you light my lamp. My God illuminates my darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. One day the temple will not need light. We will not need a sun. We will not need a moon. Revelation 21, verse 23 says, the city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it because God's glory illuminates it, and its lamp is the Lamb. So what is the source of your light? Is it your own ambitions? Is it on your own abilities? Is it the things that you think are virtuous, the things that you are good at, or is it God himself? Scripture says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word needs to be what helps us to illuminate others. God's word is the source of light for us. If you want to know God, if you want to know what he says, if you want to be able to see the path, if you want to know where to go, if you want to light up a room, you light it up with God's word. In the New Testament, God also, Jesus teaching, he says, you don't light a lamp and then cover it up. That's no good. There's no point in that. You wouldn't light a lamp and put a bucket over it. Nobody could see anything. You wouldn't light a lamp and put it under your bed. What good is that? What are you illuminating? Lamps are practical. They are used to be able to see things. And you would light this lamp in order for it to light your way. And so God is saying, be useful. Don't say that I'm a lamp, but then hide the truth of his word. Don't be a lamp and then go hide under your bed. Let people see that the source of light that's in you comes from the word of God itself. So the lampstand is supposed to illuminate in order that people are able to worship God. The second thing I want us to see has to do with the Levites. This long section here deals with the Levites being consecrated and offered as an offering, so to speak, for the people and on behalf of the people. God tells us that we need to be devoted to him and be devoted for service to him. The Levites were this one tribe, the tribe at which the priests come from. If you remember, we've been talking about the Levites. There's three clans that make up the Levites, or three families, if you will, that make up the that come from Levi, who was one of the sons of Jacob. And these three different groups have responsibilities. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. One of those families, the Kohathites, were the priests. The other two families were the ones who were going to serve at the temple. They were to help with the daily sacrifices, preparing things, cleaning things, getting things ready. They were the ones who were going to help protect the tabernacle, make sure that no one comes in who's not supposed to. They're going to guard it and be there. And their job is to work on behalf of the people. And God reminds Israel, he says, let's go back to Egypt. You remember when we were in Egypt and they had the Passover and every one of the firstborn was consecrated to me? Every one of you are mine. And then in the book of Numbers, we looked where God kind of makes this trade-off and says, you know what? Instead of all the firstborn coming and working at the temple, what we'll do is we'll make a trade where the firstborn of each tribe will go one for one with the Levites. And the tribe of the Levites will take your place. And so God says, I'm going to use them in place of the firstborn. But remember, you all belong to me. And this tribe of Levites are now getting ready to serve at the tabernacle. And in order to serve, God wants them to go through this purification ritual. And then he wants them to be lifted up and given, as he calls it, a presentation offering. Presentation offering was a type of offering which you would lift up before God and present it before God and give it to God. So God says, there are three things I need you to do. I need you to, one, be sprinkled, two, shave, and three, wash your clothes. Again, remember, everything's about purity and being clean versus unclean. And so making themselves clean was part of this sprinkling and then this shaving, this starting over, if you will, and then have clean clothes on. And after they did that, all of Israel would gather together around the tabernacle. And they were to give the Levites to God as a presentation offering. And while they would normally raise up the offering and present it to God as saying, God, this is for you, they metaphorically did that with the whole tribe of the Levites. They laid their hands on them and they said, God, we are giving them to you to serve you and to serve us on behalf of you. And so they are getting ready to serve God. They've done some sacrifices. We've consecrated the outside altar, the inside, the Holy of Holies. We've talked about that, and then we've just talked about the holy place. And now it's time for the Levites to get ready to work. But first they are offered. They're offered to God, saying, God, these people will work on your behalf. Then there are two bulls that are sacrificed. One is sacrificed as a sin offering, saying, God, we need forgiveness on behalf of the Israel of the Levites. So they are getting ready to serve the people. And God says, I need them to work. It's going to be hard work from the ages of 25 to 50. After you're 50, you can't do all this strenuous work of taking down the tabernacle and bringing it to the next place. But when you turn 50, you can be someone who's there to help out, but you're not involved with all of the hard, strenuous stuff. And you're thinking, what in the world does that have to do with the church and with me? We have people who are similar to Levites. We have people who serve you and help me. We call them deacons. And when a deacon is ordained or when a deacon is presented, they are, think of it as a presentation offering. They are put before you, then hands are laid on them, and we pray over them just as Israel does this. They put their hand and say, God, this is your person. And we have people who help and assist the pastor in pastoral care, taking care of folks, calling folks, seeing how they're doing, praying with them, praying for them. And so we see in the life of Israel something that is very similar to what we do in the local church today. Is that deacons serve in a similar manner on behalf of you and also help me. But notice this, or make note of this. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to have the title to serve. You can be consecrated. You can say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to take care of folks. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to check in on them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to serve them. All the ways that we normally consider the work of deacons. So here in this chapter, in this chapter 8, we see these two aspects. One, the lampstand being ready for service to light the way. Are you someone who is lighting the way for others? Are you shining Jesus? Or are you trying to hide that from you? Are you trying to hide the fact that you are a Christian? You don't want people to really know in the way that you act, in the way that you live. And the second thing is, are you devoted to service? Again, you don't have to have a title. You just have to be ready to serve. So as we close and as Chris comes and plays, I want to invite you to spend some time with God, asking yourself, what kind of light am I shining? What's the source of my light? Is it my own self? Is it my own abilities? Is it my own ambitions? Or is it the Word of God? Is the Word of God really a lamp to my feet? Is it really lighting my path? Or is it the latest fad, the latest motivational speaker, the latest do your best belief system? And are you devoted to service to God? Man, woman, child, you can serve God and give your life to Him. As Chris plays, you spend time with God and think through those things. Or your glory, for your holiness. I thank you for the light that you shine in our life. God, I pray that we would reflect that light on others. that our light would shine so bright before men that they would give you honor and they give you glory. And I pray that we would serve you with unfettered devotion. And that we would give our lives to you in a way that points other people to you. For your honor, for your glory, for your majesty, for your good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you Wednesday.